Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on a Football Friday on the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi guy, the football weekend already underway. Week number 6 kicking off last night in Kansas City inside Arrowhead Stadium between the Chiefs and the Broncos. The Chiefs continue their dominance over Denver. 16 consecutive wins for KC now, Joe, over the Broncos. We'll talk about that game in a moment. We had chaos to start the college football weekend in a Big 12 battle last night in Houston. The Cougs, a Hail Mary prayer is answered in H-Town. Lisi, the football is already here. It's going to be a great weekend all across the gridiron.
Oh, it is. And you talk about that game last night. I mean, it went from like two swings on the pendulum in terms of emotion. Garrett Green hits the big touchdown pass with 12 seconds left to give West Virginia the lead. Donovan Smith answers in two plays, right? They go basically 65 yards to Hail Mary with no time left. They steal it 41-39. Danner Holgorsen gets revenge over his former team in terms of West Virginia. Neil Brown and West Virginia now 4-2. We talked about their road woes under Neil Brown, under 333 in terms of the winning percentage on the road or on a neutral field. It happened again. You can't let that happen. And Donovan Smith completes his final 16 passes, Ben. Let's get it on for week number 7.
Absolutely so. A 50-yard touchdown pass from Garrett Green to Hunter Clement that gave West Virginia the lead with only 12 seconds remaining. But Garrett Green was celebrating too hard. A penalty leads to a short kickoff. Houston has decent field position, and Donovan Smith ends the game with 16 consecutive passes completed, including a Hail Mary that was tipped up, and Stephon Johnson was on the receiving end of that tip into the end zone. The Cougs win their first Big 12 game as a member of that conference. The newcomers now 2-8. It's the Cougars, Joe, BYU, and Houston that get the two wins for the four newcomers. We welcome in our Sirius XM channel 159 audience here as well. 159 on Sirius XM is the home for Sports Grid Radio. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. It's a Football Friday on FFC. Week number 6, Joe, in the National Football League, starting last night in Kansas City. It wasn't wildly impressive offensively for the Chiefs. Harrison Butker had 4 field goals, only 1 offensive score for Kansas City. It was Kadarius Toney finding the end zone. But Lisi guy, when you look at the game overall, the Chiefs improved to 5-1. They win the football game outright. They even cover as a 10.5-point favorite, holding the Broncos scoreless for 3.5 quarters. And Kansas City, Joe, does what they need to do. They're 5-1, and they win their first divisional game of the year.
Yeah, they do. And you know what was interesting, Ben, is it's 19-8, right? But Pat Mahomes still threw for 306 yards. Kelce with a 127 in terms of receptions and receiving yards on 9 catches. It's amazing. They just grind you out and find ways each and every week to pull out victories no matter what style they have to play. They are the chameleon. They could go low scoring, grind it out the way they did the past couple of weeks, right? Jacksonville and obviously this game against Denver. or they can get into a shootout, and that's why they are the defending Super Bowl champs. And on the flip side for Sean Payton, you know, he's got a lot of answers to come up with, and he has to answer a bunch of questions because he opened his big mouth about Nate Hackett at the start of the year. He thought it was easy. It's not. And now he's going to sell half the team off or trade it because he's in a complete rebuild. Again, what did he do, and does his coaching resume take a bit of a knock because of how he's coached his team down through 6 weeks of the regular season?
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. Sean Payton only has himself to blame for either hitching his wagon to a bad horse, pun intended, with the Denver Broncos. And although, Joe, for most of this year, the struggles for Denver did not rely on the offensive side of the ball or poor quarterback play out of Russell Wilson, last night was a disaster. 13 of 22 for 95 yards only, 4.3 yards per attempt. He was also sacked four times, so a total of 82 offensive passing yards out of the Denver Broncos. A QBR for Russ at 10.1. I think it's a statement, Joe, for Kansas City defensively, a defense that often under Steve Spagnuolo over the past few years gets better and better as the year goes on, but a little bit shaky to start by the time you get to end of December in the regular season and into January. That's when the Chiefs defense rounds into form. Joe, it's been that way for the start this year for Kansas City. Denver is a disaster. Frank Clark has already been released on this Friday morning. They are probably going to trade away other valuable assets like a Jerry Jeudy, like a Javonte Williams, maybe Justin Simmons on the other side of the ball. You're going to see other people leave. But Joe, it's not just a this year thing for Denver. It's beyond the decisions that will have to be made this offseason. What to do with the amount of investment paid to both Russ and Sean Payton. Again, George, Joe, as I said, in terms of how I would power rank most likely people to leave, it would be George Payton, number one, the GM, as most likely to go, then Russ, and then far down on that list, Sean Payton. But however you organize it, Joe, however you restructure these lofty deals that were paid out to Russell Wilson and Sean Payton, I think it's going to set back this organization for a few years. Again, a disaster in Denver.
It is. It's amazing. And, you know, that's the biggest question, is that I think even from the odds perspective, right, people thought and the books thought that they were just, you know, a head coach away from turning it around. They had one of the best, you know, winning percentages and win totals in the AFC, along with their Super Bowl odds under 20, 30, you know, from where they were at the end. I think they were 30 at the start, but they got down to like basically 20 right before kick. And that just shows how people price this team entering the regular season because of Sean Payton. And then he comes out with the comments, the offense really has no identity, even though, you know, up until this point, Russell Wilson was compiling stats. They didn't do it like in a particular way. They were always playing catch up. They never, you know, the only game that they really dictated, Ben, was the game against Washington, and they failed to close the door because their defense fell apart in the second half. So, again, I agree. Fire the GM, fire everybody. And you know what? If I'm the ownership, I call out Sean Payton and be like, what are you doing, man? Why do you make these comments and then don't back it up on the field?
Yeah, absolutely so. And they haven't backed up anything on the field so far. 1-5 and now 0-5-1 against the number as well. Not even competitive in these football games. Joe, we had some questions around Travis Kelce's availability last night. He was great. 9 grabs on 9 targets for 124 yards. Rashee Rice has come along, the rookie wideout out of SMU. 4 grabs on 4 targets for 72 yards. Even on a Monday night in KC, Joe, Patrick Mahomes threw the football for 306 yards, just his second 300-yard performance of this 2023 NFL season. And, Joe, the Chiefs are now 1-0 in the AFC West Division in their only divisional game so far this year. The Chiefs are a -380 favorite to win the AFC West. They have won it for 7 consecutive seasons. They seem well on their way to making it 8 in a row. We are going to go around the rest of the NFL Sunday slate to get you set for the weekend in football. That is coming up next, live right here on this Football Friday on Football Full Circle. Come back and join us on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on FFC. It's Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. Lisi Guy, let's continue to dive all around the Week 6 Sunday slate. A couple of big notes, Joe, just came down in the last 20 to 25 minutes that will shape the slate for Sunday. First, Daniel Jones is out with the neck injury that had him exit the game against the Dolphins last Sunday early in that football game. Joe, the Giants are playing on Sunday Night Football. I wish it wasn't the case, but it's a 15.5-point spread now in favor of Buffalo. Tyrod Taylor expected to get the start in place for Danny Dimes. Joe, Buffalo back from London looking to make a statement. They're a 15.5-point favorite. The over-under is 44 and a hook. Just how lopsided of a Sunday Night Football game do you expect?
Yeah, I mean, they bit me last week with Miami, and I can't go back to the well. I mean, two touchdowns, I expect Buffalo to beat them up. The biggest thing is in the interior. That's where I believe Buffalo holds an advantage now. Even though the front seven didn't step up, in my opinion, against Jacksonville overseas, I think they do so at home against the New York Giants. I think the defensive front seven could get to whoever starts quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, DeVito, you name it, it doesn't matter. They're going to get quarterback pressures, and I don't think the New York Giants are going to be able to run the football, and that's the biggest thing. If there's no offensive balance, you're put into long third downs, and then that leads to turnovers. That leads to a short field for potentially Josh Allen and that offense. It could get ugly. This could be, you know, like a 45 to like 13 type of game, and I could only look to Buffalo Bills in this matchup, Ben.
Yeah, I would say the Buffalo Bills name their number. They go out there and get it. I don't really know how the Giants form any sort of offense. Even if Daniel Jones was out there, Joe, I wouldn't be ultimately optimistic about this Giants team. The offensive line, the main concern. We didn't see Andrew Thomas at practice these last few days. We didn't see John Michael Schmitz, the offensive center, who is that rookie out of Minnesota. It's so banged up. It's so patchwork. It's so beaten down. They have not performed well. I think it's going to be tough. 44.5 is the total. That's kind of like a Bills team total at this point, in my estimation. And then, Joe, we talked about it yesterday. Deshaun Watson, not at practice. Deshaun Watson officially ruled out for Sunday in Cleveland as the Browns get ready to host the San Francisco 49ers. Now, Joe, San Francisco a 9.5-point favorite. The total also dropping 35.5.
Yeah, this is intriguing. I mean, deeper, right? Outside of P.J. Walker starting this ball game over DTR, what is really going on with Deshaun Watson? Because Stefanski 2 weeks ago said he was cleared to play. So, obviously, this is a situation either the team has it wrong, the doctors have it wrong, or Deshaun Watson's not happy because something just doesn't add up to me. Now, I will say, in terms of the football aspect, I believe P.J. Walker gives the team a better shot to win it potentially cover this number because he is a veteran. We saw DTR with 3 interceptions against Tennessee. I believe he could be cleaner with the football. Again, I believe San Francisco wins, but I do feel Cleveland can cover this number. The rushing attack with Kareem Hunt, the ability to maybe sustain drives for a longer period of time with Walker, potentially I think could backdoor this number. I'm going to take Cleveland in terms of this matchup. You got to believe the defense is going to step up and B, you want to go all out against Brock Purdy in the best offense potentially in the NFC right now.
Yeah, I don't know, Joe. I mean, we saw what happened when DTR was in there, and it put such a burden on the defensive side of the football. I'm not sure P.J. Walker performs any better. He's going to have a little bit more experience, of course, and hopefully he doesn't throw 3 interceptions like we saw DTR do in his rookie debut week 4. But that was 28 points that Cleveland allowed to Baltimore because the offense could not get anything going against the Ravens. The 28 points, the most Cleveland has allowed so far this year, and it's not not just the Niners team that's 5-0. It's a Niners team that's 5-0 and unbeaten with scoring 30 or more points in all five of their victories. Again, 35.5 is now the total. I'm not sure San Francisco gets there because I know Cleveland is a good defense. But again, that's more a San Francisco team total than a game total in my estimation. I think it's a big win for San Francisco. They improved to a perfect 6-0. The other undefeated team remaining, Joe, in the National Football League was, of course, the team that San Fran lost to in the NFC title game just this past January. That's the Philadelphia Eagles, also a touchdown or more favorite on the road. The Birds, Joe, laying 7 on the road at MetLife on Sunday afternoon against the Jets. Now, the Jets have been a little bit more competitive the last few weeks, covered against Kansas City in MetLife 2 Sunday nights ago. Last week, winning outright on the road in Denver. Can the Jets be a thorn in Philadelphia's side, Joe, come Sunday?
They can. They're going to have to run the football, and I think that's where the game is lost for the New York Jets. We know Breece Hall rushed it for over $120 against Denver. This is one of the best defenses in terms of the front seven in all of the NFC, if not the NFL, holding opposing offenses to right around 58, 60 rushing yards per game. That front seven could be the best in all of the NFL, in my opinion. Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, when Fletcher Cox is in there, he's been banged up, but still, it doesn't matter. They have multitudes of players that they could put in there at any given time, Sweat as well. And that's where I think the Eagles win this ballgame. I think they force turnovers over Zach Wilson. I think it is a breakout performance for Jalen Hurts. We have seen back-to-back 300-yard performances in terms of the passing attack. This team has been doing it with defense. I think they continue, but I think the offense carries them well over this 7-point spread. I think they dominate from start to finish. And give me the over in this ball game, Ben.
Yeah, I agree, Joe. I think Philadelphia is going to put up some points. Again, the New York Jets defense is what has been keeping them in football games, but the Birds, I think, come in with a really strong rushing attack, second best in the NFL, only behind the Dolphins because of huge games for Miami on the ground. I think Philly controls tempo. I think Philly controls time of possession. I think the Birds win this one rather comfortably. Joe, a big number, and speaking of the Dolphins, they're a 13.5-point favorite at home on Sunday against the only winless team left in the NFL. That's the Carolina Panthers. Carolina, like Denver, one of three teams in the National Football League that has not covered yet this year. The Broncos now 0-5-1 against the spread. The Panthers 0-4-1 against the spread. The New York Giants 0-5 ATS. It's a big number, Joe. Can the Panthers cover a number? Is it going to be more competitive than that 2-touchdown spread says?
You know, they got blown out by Detroit last week. And I'm not going to bet this game, but if I did, I would take Carolina. I think the loss of Devon Achan in regards to the rushing attack, even though Wilson comes back, I think will be a benefit in terms of Carolina's defense. They run it sideline to sideline. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Achan. And that's how they get that defense worn out. Without him in that lineup, and it's just Mostert and Jeff Wilson, it's going to be more off tackle, more right between the A and B gaps. And I think that's where Carolina potentially can at least keep it close and maybe get two into some long third downs. But if you're Frank Reich, I mean, you know, we saw Bryce Young get over his number last week. You gotta develop him. If you're not going to win a game, you got to develop him. This a conservative type of approach, like, you know, we want to see, you know, if we can get it into the fourth quarter, throw caution to the wind, baby. Let the kid throw it 50 times a game. Let him get acclimated and develop the quarterback, especially if you plan on being the head coach in year number two. I think Miami wins. I would take the points, and I lean to the under in this ballgame.
Yeah, I look at this game, Joe, and I wonder where Carolina generates the offense. I wonder how they stay competitive in this football game, right? They're grooming Bryce Young, who has looked like the worst of the three rookie quarterbacks that were drafted in the top four this past April. But you want to see competition. You want to see competitive. Even if they're not winning football games, Joe, they got to be in it, and it's got to be the offense that looks decent. Under Bryce Young, it hasn't so far this year. That's a big number, 13.5 in favor of Miami. We'll continue to go around the Sunday slate in the National Football League. There's a early game in London on Sunday for the third consecutive weekend in the NFL. We'll dive through the rest of this Sunday slate coming your way up next. We're talking picks. We're talking previews. We're breaking it all down here on FFC. Come back and join us on Football Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here, back on FFC. It is Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. All right, Joe, around the Sunday slate in the National Football League. Early starts once again Sunday in London across the pond. It's the Baltimore Ravens and the Tennessee Titans. Lamar Jackson, Joe, was speaking about his first trip abroad in London, saying he's only been out of the States three times, and he's been walking around the streets this week in London, and people know who Lamar Jackson is. He's been having a heck of a time out there, Joe. So tell us, will it translate into a win for the Ravens on Sunday against the Titans?
I think it will. That's the only side I could look, and I understand they've been a little bit shaky, and they struggled. Defense fell apart in the final 3 minutes against Pittsburgh, but they have the more consistent quarterback. He's an RPO type of guy. I think that matters in terms of this ball game. And again, what's the offensive identity for the Tennessee Titans? Again, I'll hammer this drum. You look at the Derrick Henry prop entering this ballgame. It's 63.5. I mean, he only rushed it 13 times for 43 yards last week. That was a defense in Indy that was giving up a ton of yards on the ground entering that ballgame. The week before, they gave up 103 to Kyron Williams and the LA Rams, and Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee offensive staff decided to attack that defense with Ryan Tannehill. Now, granted, he threw for 264, but they were completely one-dimensional, never utilized the rushing attack. So again, this team was built on physicality. It was built on obviously grounding out and wearing down opposing defenses, and they don't do that anymore. So I can't look to Tennessee, even though they're a dog in this matchup. It's on a neutral field. I think Baltimore responds in a big way. I think they win it anywhere from 7-13 in this ballgame.
I agree, Joe. Baltimore literally dropped the ball last week. So many drops. Lamar Jackson trying to find open wide receivers. Yeah, some probably could have been placed in better spots, but you got to come through for your quarterback. Baltimore had a big lead early on. The Steelers scored 14 unanswered points. The only points, by the way, the Steelers that were scored in the second half were by Pittsburgh, all 14 in the fourth quarter. I think Baltimore bounces back. Tennessee never makes things easy, Joe. And as an underdog, they have been sensational in the last 2 years. 7-4-1 against the spread. They were just booked as a favorite last week in Indy, and they lost that game outright. I do think it's close. I think it's probably within a single score. It's probably a grinded out type football game where half of the country is not up yet to watch. But I do think Baltimore gets a much needed victory, improving to 4-2. Elsewhere, Joe, around the NFL, we have two games only on the Sunday slate. Maybe it's not the prettiest we've ever seen, but two games only, Joe, on the Sunday slate that feature a matchup between two teams that both have a winning record. We start in Jacksonville. The Jaguars, a 4.5-point favorite against Indianapolis. The Colts are 3-2. The Jags are 3-2, fresh back from their two consecutive weekends in London. The over-under, 44.5. Joe, both of these teams above 500. The winner of this football game is going to take the top spot in the AFC South.
Yeah, I really like Jacksonville. And the reason why I feel that way is I just think they're starting to gel into form. The offensive line looks better. They're pounding the rock. ETN with over 125 yards on the ground. They rush for 5 yards per carry. Much of it in the second half against the Buffalo Bills. And at the end of the day, for me, the defensive front seven forced turnovers. I know Josh Allen statistically threw for over 300, but a lot of that came in garbage time after they trailed by 2 scores. That secondary played well, and I know Gardner Minshew, Anthony Richardson is banged up, but to me, this is all Jacksonville. I do favor a lower scoring game because I like the way the defense is playing with the Jags, and I think Bigsby and ETN do take over, so I think they win this ball game again in the area of 7-10 points. It resembles, the first meeting that they had, but I'm going to go a little bit lower. I think it's like a 24-14 win by Jacksonville.
Listen, Indianapolis has had a ton of trouble winning games in Jacksonville against Jacksonville. The Colts have not beaten the Jags in Duval County since the 2014 season. That is 8 straight home wins for Jacksonville over Indianapolis, a divisional foe. But Gardner Minshew is going to get the start, of course, with Anthony Richardson now on the IR for the foreseeable future. And Minshew came in, Joe, against Houston week number 2 after Anthony Richardson was knocked out of the game with a concussion. He was 19 of 23. 171 yards, threw a touchdown. The Colts beat the Texans. Then the next week, with Anthony Richardson remaining in concussion protocol, Minshew got the start against the Ravens, 27 of 44, 227 yards, a touchdown. Indianapolis pulls off the upset in overtime over Baltimore. Last week, of course, filling in for Anthony Richardson in the opening half after AR was knocked out of the game with that shoulder sprain, 11 of 14 for Minshew, a buck 55 through the air. Indianapolis got the win. Gardner Minshew, Joe, has either started or played the majority of all of Indianapolis's 3 wins this year. So Anthony Richardson has been good in his time as a starting quarterback in the National Football League, although a small sample size. Gardner Minshew does not miss a beat, though, in terms of overall team success. Elsewhere, Joe, the other matchup that we have between 2 winning teams, that's in Tampa. The Buccaneers, fresh off the bye, they're a 1-loss football team. 3-1, Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers. And then, who do they welcome in? The 4-1 Detroit Lions. Joe, 2 teams right now, Tampa in the NFC South, Detroit in the NFC North, that sit atop their respective divisions. The Lions, a 3-point favorite. When you look at this game, Joe, it's proven time for both of them, right? Not expected, at least in years past, for the Lions to win a division or be booked as a favorite. The Buccaneers now have an opportunity to continue to pace the division. Joe, who do you think makes that statement on Sunday in Florida?
I can't believe I'm gonna say this, but I think it's Tampa Bay playing at home. I really do. And it's crazy. I really like the way the defense has bounced back into form, and I was very critical of Todd Bowles and that team entering the season. Didn't think they had the right quarterback in terms of Baker Mayfield. I thought Trask had been given the opportunity to at least start that for that team. But, you know, he's putting up numbers, he's successful, and more importantly, he's winning football games. Not only that, but the defense seems to find their identity now, right? The way they shut down New Orleans on the road was a very good win. Think about how dominant New Orleans was against New England, especially on the road last week. And they held that offense to 9 points. I understand Carr was a little bit banged up, but they also put 27 on the board from an offensive perspective. And I think that's where I'm a little bit shocked. They're running the football a little bit better in back-to-back weeks. They're getting good quarterback play, and that defense is much better in run support. That is the strength right now of Detroit with Montgomery. So give me the home team plus the short number.
Yeah, I look at this game, Joe, and I think the Lions have an opportunity here to really make their statement. They could pull away from the NFC North and really build that margin in this game, and I expect Detroit to do so. Not because I'm pessimistic on Tampa Bay. I just think this is the Lions' time. Now booked as an underdog 9 times with Dan Campbell as their head coach, they are 6-3 straight up and against the spread. I think Detroit wins by more than 3, although I think that key number is where we circulate this game around on Sunday afternoon. The Lions are the favorites in the NFC North. -320. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, although sitting in the top spot, the third best price in the NFC South, only about 25, 30 cents, though, behind the Saints, who remain the favorites. Speaking of New Orleans, Joe, the Saints, a 1.5-point road favorite in Houston on Sunday. Pretty short on that money line, though. -124 for the Saints, +106 for the Texans. C.J. Stroud is off to a sensational and historic start to his NFL career, Joe. He has spoken at length about giving that pride back to Texans fans in Houston. Do you think they'll take some pride in their hometown team on Sunday?
I love Stroud. I love what he's doing. Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think this is the game that potentially, not that he gets exposed, that he just might struggle. And the reason why I say that is Dennis Allen and that defense are going to force him to read a little bit coverage. They utilize a lot of different blitz packages. Dennis Allen, one of the best defensive game planners that we've seen. We saw what he was able to do against Mac Jones, you know, and force turnovers. I think it could be similar with C.J. Stroud. crowd, and that's why I give the edge laying a short number. It's back-to-back road games. That's the only concern for New Orleans, but I do think they grind it out. I mean, all they have to do is win it by a field goal, right? So favor the defense going up against a rookie. That's why I lean to New Orleans here.
Yeah, I think, Joe, where things stand in this football game, that Saints defense is going to be the best test that C.J. Stroud has seen. I agree with you, right? It's not like it's going to be a disaster for Stroud. He has been too composed. This is just a difficult test against a really good Saints defense that, by the way, has played 10 consecutive games to an under, all five games, of course, then, this year to the under for New Orleans. A big one in Cincinnati, Joe. The Bengals, a 2.5-point favorite against the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle's won three straight. They were on the bye last week, feeling fresh and rejuvenated for this matchup in Cincy. Joe, for a second consecutive season, the Bengals are 2-3 after week number 5. Last year, they won 11 of their final 12 regular season games after week 5 and 8 straight to end the year. It's a tall order, Joe, but do we see the Bengals continue that momentum this weekend at home against Seattle?
I think we do, and I think the reason is I don't think Kenneth Walker is going to have success on the ground on the front seven. I just don't. And I'm banking off that. I think the secondary is legit against DK Metcalf and Lockett in terms of the passing attack. And again, I have to believe, based off of last week's performance, where Joe Burrow, Joey Silk, throws for 317, he completes his first 7 passes, he's back to being at least maybe 90%, and that'll be the difference to Cincinnati covering this number.
Yeah, the Bengals defense, Joe, has not been good against the run so far this year, allowing 154 yards per game. You would think Kenneth Walker, who has had at least 17 carries in the last 3 for Seattle and 79 or more yards in the last 2 games, could have a day. We'll continue to break down the NFL Sunday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. All right, Lisi guy, we were breaking down the game between the Bengals and the Seahawks. Cincinnati has the second worst rushing defense currently in the NFL, giving up 154 yards per game on the ground. I think that is Seattle's path to keeping this football game close. Kenneth Walker III has had 79 or more rush yards in the last 2 for Seattle, at least 17 carries on the ground in the last 3 for the Seahawks. And by the way, all 3 of those last games for Seattle, a victory for the Hawks. But that, to me, is the key matchup advantage. I still believe, Joe, the Bengals get their 3rd win of the year. They're an even 500 after week number 6. And maybe, Joe, back into the fold in the AFC North, because when you look at the Cincinnati Bengals right now, they've won this division 2 straight years. They were the preseason favorites. Now they have the longest price of the 4 teams, Joe, at plus 470.
Yeah, I mean, again, it comes down to momentum, and that's what this team needed a little bit, you know, in terms of finding their offensive consistency and identity. Now, granted, it was part of it was due to the calf injury with Joe Burrow, but he looked great. If he could follow it up, Ben, with another, let's say, 250, 270-yard performance, and he's pushing the ball down the field, they're going to be just fine. Now, they need this win, though, right? If you're taking that bet in terms of the odds, they need to get this victory over Seattle. They don't get this, they're up against it. Then they're fighting for a wild card because they lost 2 divisional games right out of the gate in terms of the first couple of weeks of the season. So they need this victory to maintain the record. Then they have to worry about divisional opponents in terms of the second half. But this is a critical game for Zach Taylor and the Bengals right now.
Yeah, absolutely so. And in the division at this moment, the Bengals are 0-2, putting themselves behind the 8 ball. Joe, as we go around the National Football League and we take a look at what we have on the slate this Sunday, here's a game in Los Angeles where you have 2 teams, Joe, that have been more competitive and frankly better than I think anybody really anticipated entering this year. The Rams and the Cardinals, a divisional duel where LA inside SoFi is a full touchdown favorite against Arizona. Of course, Joe, earlier this week, a big blow for the Cardinals. James Conner placed on the injured reserve. He was really a spark offensively for Arizona to begin this year. Joe, the Rams haven't been booked as a favorite often in 2023. This, just their second game. Can the Rams even cover as a touchdown favorite?
Yeah, I think they can. And again, that secondary has not been bad for the LA Rams. I think that's the biggest thing going up against Josh Dobbs. Now, we know it, with Connor being out of that lineup, can they still get the same type of productivity out of the offensive line? Once Cincinnati jumped up early last week, they forced Josh Dobbs into playing catch-up, and that's a recipe to potentially cover in this line. Here's the thing, too. I mean, Cooper Kupp back in that lineup, that it's his second game back with Puka Nacua and in terms of the passing attack, Tutu Atwell, they trade Van Jefferson. I think they're going to be just fine. It all comes down to the health of Matt Stafford, too. He seems to be all of a sudden a little bit more healthier as well, 80-85%, and that's good enough for me. Again, they've overexceeded expectations in terms of Gannon in Arizona. Now we've seen them not cover in back-to-back games. I think this is the third one, even though it is a divisional matchup.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Arizona is 3-2 against the number, but you're right, Joe. They covered in the first three. The last 2 weeks, they've lost by at least two touchdowns, right? They were a 14-point dog against San Francisco and almost covered, and were covering for a majority of that game before the Niners pulled away late to win by 19. All right, Joe, a couple of potentially ugly games that we have on the Sunday slate. We start in Atlanta. It's the Commanders and the Falcons. Atlanta, a 2.5-point favorite, 42.5. Is a total. Of course, this is the first time we are seeing the Commanders since two Thursday nights ago, and they lost outright at home by 20 points as a 6.5-point favorite against the Chicago Bears. The Falcons, Joe, have a winning record. They are 3-2, but as a favorite this year, or in their last two games as a favorite, they have only won the football game outright by a total of 3 points. How close is this game going to be, Joe, in the A on Sunday?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Des Ritter, can you get another 300-yard performance? I mean, if so, then this team all of a sudden is a contender. I don't buy it. I think the more complete offense, believe it or not, is Washington, because I like Eric Bieniemy. I like the weapons that they have, and Howell seems to chuck it. That's good enough for me. And if, you know, think about this. Des Ritter hasn't lost a game in college and in the NFL at home. Why is that spread only 2.5 points? To me, it should be more like 3.5, as dominant as he's been. And the fact that we know Washington and Ron Rivera are reeling a bit, I think that line should be over a key number of 3. That's just me. So I'm going to take the Commanders plus the 2.5. I like them on the money line as well.
I do as well, Joe. Listen, I have not been overly impressed by Atlanta. And I think the biggest concern, Joe, for the Commanders, they're the second worst scoring defense in the National Football League, allowing 32.6 points per game on average. That was where I thought, Joe, Washington would be okay this year, as the offense figured things out with a young quarterback under a new OC and adapted to Eric Bieniemy's scheme. That really hasn't been the case. I think they'll start to figure it out, though. And they've had a little bit of time, 10 days now, to prepare. I don't think Washington does anything spectacular the rest of the way, but I think they can keep this game close in Atlanta. The Bears and the Vikings, Joe, a matchup of 2-1-4 football teams in the NFC North. Chicago, a 3-point home underdog against Minnesota. Of course, the big news for this game, Joe, Justin Jefferson placed on the injured reserve by Minnesota earlier this week. What's the future for this Vikings team as it's currently assembled with the trade deadline just over two weeks away? Joe, who do you think picks up their second win of the year?
I think it's Chicago. You know why? Because their quarterback, in my opinion, starting to bounce back into form. 8 touchdowns over the last couple games. 300-yard performance against Washington. And again, I think he can carry this team to victory. And Kirk Cousins, the team is reeling. Justin Jefferson is out. They're potentially trading Kirk Cousins or getting rid of him definitely by the end of this year. So what does this team have to play for? O'Connell has coached his team. team down and deserves just as much heat as potentially Brandon Staley, Sean Payton, you name it. This team is going the other way. A 13-win football team last year, they can't get out of their own way. And you know what? O'Connell in a big spot never runs the football when he's supposed to. And I think that's the biggest thing. He wants to chuck it 8 out of 10 times, which is all well and good, but you need a little offensive balance. He got Alexander Mattison involved a couple of weeks ago, but in critical junctures, never goes to the rushing attack when he needs to, and that's why I'm taking Chicago. I don't love Eberflus, but I believe in Justin Fields as a dog more than I believe in Kirk Cousins on the road as a favorite.
Yeah, I would agree, Joe. I don't really think Minnesota should be the favorite by 3 points in this game. I think it's a little bit more of a toss-up. We have seen an offense starting to get better and evolve with Justin Fields the last few weeks. Supposed to be pretty bad weather, Joe, for most of the Midwest this weekend, Saturday into Sunday. We'll talk about it in college football and, of course, here in the NFL. I think if the weather holds off, or it's not as bad as maybe anticipated, Joe, 43.5 is a pretty light total. Chicago is the only team in the NFL this year that has played all 5 of their games to an over. And then finally, Joe, if I think we might see some points even with some bad weather on Sunday in Chicago, I don't think we see any points between the Raiders and the Patriots. I mean, like 7-3 could be the final score of this game between Bill Belichick and his former protege, Josh McDaniels. The Raiders are 2-3. The Patriots are 1-4. The total's 41.5. Las Vegas is favored by 2.5 points, Joe, at home. What do you think happens in this football game?
Yeah, this one, I mean, let's not forget this was the Jacoby Myers game last year where he throws it on the last play of the game and they turn it and, you know, scoop and score and win it, right? I bashed New England all week, and I bashed them last week and took New Orleans, but guess what? I think this is a potential spot I'm willing to buy. The Patriots are +2.5 on the road. I know they haven't looked good, and I understand right. that Las Vegas got the victory on Monday night over Green Bay, but to me, this is a perfect spot for Belichick over McDaniels. I'm not sold on Garoppolo. I'm not sold on that defense with Max Crosby either, even though they're playing well. Give me the Patriots and the mild upset.
Yeah, I agree, Joe. I can't believe I'm saying it. Listen, the offense looks terrible. Mac Jones is on a downward spiral like you might have never seen. Joe, here's the game log for Mac Jones, because I saw this earlier this week and I was astounded by the numbers. Week number one, when they were competitive against the Eagles, ultimately not covering as a 4.5-point underdog, he threw for 316 yards. Then they only lost by a touchdown against the Dolphins, 231 yards. He did throw a pick in each of those games, but did have 4 touchdown passes. And then week number three, in a win, albeit against New York, the only this year for the Pats, he threw for 201 yards. So 316, down to 231, down to 201. The last 2 weeks, Joe, where they have combined for a total of a whopping 3 offensive points, 150 yards for Mac Jones, only 110 last week against the Saints. He has thrown 0 touchdown passes, of course, and 4 interceptions. It is wild to see what has felt like the door has dropped out from under Mac Jones. It's crazy to see where this offense is right now. Will they figure it out? I don't know. The Raiders defense looked decent last week against the Green Bay Packers. Again, I like the under of 41.5 better than I do any side. All right, Joe, that's the entirety of the Sunday slate. We preview it all here on Football Full Circle. So we turn our attention now to college football. Lisey Guy, of course, we're going to go to the top 10 tilt in Seattle. What a beautiful setting we are going to see for the 115th meeting all time between Oregon and Washington. This time, it's a top 10 tilt. Number 7, Washington, welcomes in number 8, Oregon. It's a 3-point spread now, Joe, in favor of the Huskies. The total dropping by a point. It's 66.5. Joe, who remains perfect? Who emerges out of Seattle on Saturday a perfect 6-0?
I think it's Michael Penix and the home team, the Huskies. Won this ballgame 37-34 last year. A 446 passing yard performance per game out of Washington. And we talk about third down offense and defense. That's where Oregon's a little weak. They're allowing opposing offenses to convert right in the area. 45-46% of their third down opportunities. You give Michael Penix multiple opportunities to move the football and score, he's going to pick you apart. And that's why I give the edge edge to the home team. It's a short number. I think they win it anywhere from 7 to 10. I think it's a one-score game. Like, with about 5 or 6 minutes left, they tack on one more and make it a, you know, 7 to 10-point ball game. But give me the Huskies. One of my better picks, believe it or not, for the weekend.
Yeah, I think the matchup comes down to how can you limit Michael Penix Jr. You're not going to stop that very potent offense of attack for Washington under Kalen DeBoer, with so many weapons for Michael Penix Jr. to choose from. Roma Dunze, Jalen McMillan, Jalen Polk. It's not going to be easy for this Oregon defense. And although, Joe, Oregon is the best defense in the Pac-12 and the fifth best passing defense in the country, allowing less than 154 yards per game, they haven't seen something quite like this Washington offense. Now, you could make the comparison with Colorado. Shedeur Sanders is the leading passer in college football. Michael Penix Jr. just behind him as the second leading passer in college football. And of course, we know Oregon shut down Colorado, only allowing 6 points. That's the matchup for me, Joe. Can Oregon slow down? Again, you're not going to stop, but can they slow down Washington's offense in that passing attack enough to take advantage on the other side? The Huskies allowing 28 points per game so far in their two Pac-12 tilts. I actually believe in this Washington defense. I think they're better than the numbers have shown so far. A tough test for them tomorrow as well against the Ducks. A few more college football thoughts on the other side of the break, live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're back here on FFC. It's Football Full Circle for just a few more minutes. Joe, a huge weekend in the Pac-12. Oregon in Washington. UCLA in Oregon State in Corvallis tomorrow night. A top 20 tilt as well. And not a conference game for the Trojans of Southern Cal, but a traditional rivalry nonetheless. USC visits Notre Dame in South Bend, Joe. A ranked versus ranked matchup because somehow, some way, Notre Dame remains in the top 20 five, despite suffering two losses in the last 3 weeks. Joe, USC is a 2.5-point underdog despite being the unbeaten team in this matchup against 21st-ranked Notre Dame. Joe, does USC suffer their first defeat of the year, or does Notre Dame pick up its third loss of the season?
You know, I toggle back and forth, and I like this game more. I think USC does prevail and hand the Irish their third loss on the year. I think there's more pressure on Marcus Freeman, more pressure now on Sam Harmon than there was a couple weeks ago prior to that loss against Louisville. And again, just think about the line movement. 21 against Colorado for USC favorite, 20.5 against Arizona, and now they're catching 2.5, 3. I understand they've lost four straight in South Bend by 15.7 points per game, but I got the better coach, in my opinion, the better quarterback, and potentially the more consistent offense. Even though the defense sucks, I'm going to take a shot with Caleb Williams and USC to win this ballgame.
Yeah, listen, I think it comes down to that offense finding a spark once again for Notre Dame against a defense in USC that has struggled mightily this year and has answered zero questions the last 3 weeks. We knew, Joe, the first 6 weeks of USC's schedule was almost like a preseason to get ready for this game on the road in South Bend. I don't think the defense is ready. If there is trust in Audric Estime, I think Notre Dame runs all over USC and maybe even wins this football game outright. We'll talk about it tomorrow, though, on College Football Today, live right here on Sports Grid Radio, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We'll talk to you on Monday here on FFC. Have a great weekend, everyone.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.